Now for a special treat. Come on, Mr. Hey, Wonderful.
Let's sing a song.
Amen.
Okay, amen.
And evangelist, they can sing.
Praise the Lord. It's been good so far for us.
Amen.
Hope it's been good for you.
Yeah, amen.
We're enjoying being around God's people. And the hospitality that we've already experienced is up over the top. And just one of the perks of doing what we do. And it's a blessing. You ready?
I don't know.
And that's all. Did I even get the mic? Do I need it?
Chapter 5.
Could you hear me?
Yes. Amen.
How are you, a little quiet?
We'll try time, sir. Amen. Turn the volume up. I'll try. I might could too. Where I learned to preach, we didn't have microphones.
That's right.
Prisons and street corners, and you just tents. You just let it go. Amen. Luke chapter 5 tonight. I can't get around to saying it is good to be saved.
Amen.
Every day, I realize that I'm not going to hell.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
And that I'm still amazed at that.
Amen.
All right. Oh, how about now? Is it working? Okay, good. I got sound men all over the country. They're waving flags, shooting flares. I've been in evangelism 26 years, full time, and still don't remember to turn my own mic on. Isn't that? Amen, amen. Luke chapter 5. Now, we're going to look tonight at Luke's account of the calling of the four Galilean fishermen, Peter and Andrew, James and John. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Amen. They pressed upon him. Now, people flocked to where Jesus was often in his ministry because, let's face it, his fame preceded him. He was doing things nobody had ever done or done since. Amen. People came for a variety of reasons to get healed or just curiosity and all that. But this verse says something. It says, they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Would to God an epidemic of that would break out in the land.
Absolutely.
Amen. And so I want to preach tonight's title is Getting In. And I'd pray and go to verse 2. Father, I love you tonight. I thank you for the privilege to stand here in this pulpit. I'm humbled that these precious folks would come out tonight. And I'm under no misconception about why they're here. So I pray they would not be disappointed. I pray they would indeed hear from heaven as I give it my best feeble effort to convey from your precious book the message that I believe you want delivered tonight. And I pray, God, that you'd see fit to bear witness to it in such a way that we'd be enriched by a touch from your spirit. Father, I love you. I don't know if anybody in here is not saved tonight, but I pray that they get saved. I pray that nobody in this room tonight ends up in that place that you prepared for the devil and his angels. And people are at different phases of their search for truth. I understand that. And if there's somebody in here tonight, that I pray that truth is what they would hear. And perhaps the answer, the final aspect of that search might come to fruition tonight by them putting their faith in Jesus Christ. Help me to brag on my Savior tonight, Lord. And I thank you for the privilege to do that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so a couple things here in the passage, verse 2, and the Bible says this, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered, verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down, and he taught people out of the ship. Again, people flocked to where the Lord was. Here you've got him on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. The Gennesaret is how Luke recorded it. And the people are all around. And he knew that have a better vantage point to reach more people. He would do better if he could get away from the crowd a little bit. He says he thrust out a little. And then he had a better vantage point to address the people. Point number one tonight is the importance of getting in. We're talking about getting in. We're talking about getting in earshot of where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. Amen. And that's what you got going in here. He pushed out a little so that more people could hear him. Amen. And it's very important. Very important to be where the Lord is speaking. I mean, that's an understatement. And I know that you folks realize that. People don't realize that. Let's look at an example in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, talking about the importance of being where the Lord's speaking. Luke chapter 10, and look at verse 38. And says this, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve? Bitter, therefore, that she helped me. Now you got another example of somebody saying, dost thou not care? That just catches my attention because I'm painfully reminded that if he didn't, buddy, oh my. Amen. You might as well go back to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, if this is all there is. Amen. But she said that to him, and then she says this. Okay, let me find it. It says, bid her, therefore, that she help me. That's an imperative sentence. She's telling the Lord what to do now. She's ordering him around. Hey, my sister's out there. I'm in here doing all the work. My sister's out. Tell her, Lord. Whoa. He's patient God, isn't he? Amen.
Amen.
If it had been me, it would have been like, what happened to Martha? Oh, vaporized. But amen. But, you know, and she wants to tell the Lord what to do. You know, I've noticed traveling around, a lot of people, you know, say they want to serve God, but when it comes, push comes to shove, I find out that they only want to do it when in an advisory position, you know. They want to tell God what to do. He's a patient, I like where he says, everywhere it says that he's long-suffering, amen, like in 2 Peter 3:9, I circle it. Amen. I need to be reminded that God is long-suffering.
Amen.
For two reasons. Number one, to be thankful for it in my case, and it maybe I should work at it with others. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so here Martha, we read it. She's cumbered about with much serving. And let me say that serving is definitely important. And it's an integral part of how a church operates. Thank God for people that are workers. Amen. But it does say in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're trying to emphasize the importance of being where the word of God is preached, where the word of God is taught, where Jesus Christ is speaking, where the Spirit of God is bearing witness to his word. That's how God set this up.
Amen.
And it's more important than ever, not less. Again, let me say serving's important. We've been to a lot of churches, and we've been to churches where some people are so busy, I mean consistently, year after year, doing stuff, that they're never in the service. And I wonder about that.
Yeah.
Because we'll go places where ladies will tell my wife, well, I won't be in the service tonight because I'm in the nursery. And then she'll see that they're in the nursery every service, sometimes because nobody else will step up to the plate and do it. And no one person, and often it's a pastor's wife, but no one person should get relegated to that job. And so here what my wife does, has done many times, and we used to travel with three girls that were raised right, and she would volunteer to give relief to somebody in that position, volunteer to take nights of the nursery. And my girls, my teenage girls, were also quite capable. Now they all have kids. How about that? Amen. And so I thought, well, that's good. She's trying to. But then I realized that maybe her ulterior motive is she, David, what are you preaching? Well, I'll tell her. And the next thing I know, she's volunteered for the nursery. I mean, what does that really mean? You know, maybe she just doesn't want to hear that message again. I don't know. We go some places where people are, I mean, literally hiding out. Whether it's on parking lot guard duty, yes, we go places where that's necessary, or doing different things. And they're in church, and they're saved, and they're faithful, but they don't want to be in here. They think that, well, they're cumbered about with much serving. And again, it's important, but 1 Corinthians 1 tells us that the, well, I'll read the verse. It says in 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. It is the power of God. It's like, you know, just like every other part of the Christian life, you gotta find the balance.
Amen.
And people are usually on one extreme or the other.
Amen.
And what I've realized in my years as a Christian, and I've been way over here, and I've seen the pendulum swing way over there, and I've just decided that, Lord, help us find the right balance. Amen. So it says, well, in our passage in Luke 10, it said in verse 42, and this is the Lord, he made his comment on the thing. He says, Mary hath chosen that good part.
Amen.
I chose a lot of bad parts in my life. And I've got a Bible precedent on what the Lord himself said was the good part. And that's what I want to. Amen. And I was raised right in a church that where the important things were important and made important to me. And I thank God, and I've benefited greatly by hearing preaching.
Amen.
And this was before internet, before YouTube. We've got so many, high tech, I don't know, I hesitate to call them advantages. We've got tools and we should use tools. But we're not supposed to let the tools replace the old paths. Amen? Some people got real used to internet church during the pandemic. And a lot of people really missed getting together. And I watched as we continued to travel how that thing came back together. And they, consistently across the country, there's people that just never got back in. And, you know, there's a little bit of grief to that till we realized that that opened up some seats for some more people. Amen. But some people find, see, there's a need for some of this stuff. I don't want to get, I'm not chasing a rabbit here. I came up with this great comparison. You're going to be proud of me. Sitting at home, watching live streaming church all the time, when the church is going and you could be there, that's like going through McDonald's drive-through. I mean, you're going to get something might keep you alive. Maybe not as long. But it ain't nothing compared to Thanksgiving dinner. Ain't nothing like Mama's home cooking. Ain't nothing like eating at Miss Sandy's house. Where somebody's labored over that thing and law. Yeah, man, you go through Taco Bell. Do they have them in this state? Really? I was up at Staten Island and somebody made a point to point out that Pizza Hut does not survive in New York. Amen. Cause they got so much pizza. I didn't know if Taco Bell making around here or not. Amen. Cause you get the real good stuff. Amen.
Yeah.
We're talking about getting in earshot. Are you getting in whenever you can? Yeah. Amen. You ought to be. And I'm just, you know that you're here on Monday night. But some people are really good at just tagging along. And they're not in. And I want to encourage you to get in. And I wonder how many people experience real blessings from God and don't even realize why. Don't realize it's because people that are in are praying for them. Amen. Amen. There's no shortage of people. And some of them are in church. And I don't doubt some of them are saved. Maybe many of them. But, man, I want to encourage you to get in. When I got saved and I met a preacher from Florida, I was down in Harlingen, and I met this preacher, and when I went and preached for him a little while later, the gospel tract was written, and he held up, he said, Spurgeon got in hide, hair, and all. Amen. And I said, yeah, okay, well, that's how we ought to. We ought to just, I didn't play well. I just got all the way in anything I ever got involved in. When I went in the Army, I became a paratrooper. And when I got into motorcycles, I became a one percenter. And boy, if anybody deserves that kind of dedication, it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I got in, and I didn't get in, I got in because I had good examples. And I'm going to tell you something now. I know enough, I've been coming here long enough, and I know enough about this church to know you've had excellent examples.
Thank you, Lord.
You got really no excuse not to get in.
Amen.
This isn't the church in San Antonio that's just going through the motions. Amen. So if you're new here, I just want to encourage you to get in. If you're not, you've been around a while, you know everything I'm saying. Now, that don't mean you're where you need to be. And that's what revival does. It reveals things that need spiritual attention.
Amen.
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 But getting in tonight, amen. Some people never get in. I wonder if that's not why there's so many blank stares when we preach the Word of God. I wonder if it's that way with song service. I'm used to getting other ugly looks when I preach. I don't bother me a bit. But man, I've been in services where, I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up in song. And man, there ain't a reaction, there ain't a tear. People are picking their fingernails or their nose or something. And I mean it, church services aren't supposed to be dead. Listen, I'll tell you seriously, I've been to some funerals that were more exciting than some church services I've been at. Amen. I think Alyssa's was more exciting than some of the church services I've been, because we know what the Bible says. Amen. So I just want to encourage you to get in. Amen. I wonder if that's why the altar remains all vacant as much as it does. Because people are, well, like I said, they're in Christ and they're in church, but their busy schedule keeps from getting all the way in. I appreciate a church that'll put 10 days on the schedule. You're really forced to rearrange and you need to be. I was telling somebody, I had a church asking me to come, and it took 2 years for me to open up a weekend for them, a week, and I think I freed up a Wednesday through Sunday while I was over there by Washington, D.C., and when I finally called them, I said, I'd come in on Wednesday, and he said, oh, no, brother, I meant Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I'm thinking, I am grieving, trying to answer this request, pray to God, find out from God if I'm supposed to be there, trying to make it happen, and I'm thinking, that's a revivalette. Revivalette for Christianettes. Amen. Maybe I should bring some sermonettes. Amen. And, you know, the reason for that is because the pastor wasn't for it, or a good number of the church, or at least some. But it's just people can't seem to fit it in. I'm glad he fit me in.
Yeah,
we don't do this that much. Amen. I don't know how many times you have special meetings in a year. Amen. But it's worth it. I'm just trying to encourage you to get in. We're talking about getting in. And you know what? How about this? Look at verse 4. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for, I want to encourage you to just not get in, but get in deep. Let's get in deep. You know what getting in deep means? It means getting out of the shallow end. Out of the baby pool. Amen. I'm trying to stir people up. Amen. I mean, some Christians, they're down there, their feet are on the ground, and they're just splashing around in heaven. I go, man, you ain't never going to learn to swim when your feet touch. Amen. And so I want to encourage you to get in deep. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Verse 5, and Simon answering said, Simon's the one that answers. Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. So basically, translation, what he said is, Lord, been there, done that. He didn't think it'd work. He didn't think that was going to make a difference. He didn't think they're going to catch anything. But that verse finishes with these words, nevertheless, at thy word, amen, I will let down the net. Amen. Amen. I give him credit for that, because sometimes whether you think it'll work or not, it says at thy word, you just do it anyway. You know what that is? That's faith. Amen. That's faith. Amen. Getting in deep isn't Mystery Babylon or somebody mentioned, you know, or the toes on Nebuchadnezzar's statue or the mark of the beast and all that kind of stuff people like to talk about, and they don't know what they're talking about most of the time, I've noticed. Getting in deep is learning to walk by faith.
Amen.
That's what it is. That's what he does. He launches out, like I said, he already said, we did that, but he did it anyway. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And every Christian maturity requires learning to walk by faith. Amen. Amen. And it's not instant. Amen. It's not automatic. It takes time, just like learning anything else. Amen. So I would encourage you to just not get in, but to get in deep. And I'll say this, it's not as hard as it sounds. It's not spooky. There's no Twilight Zone music playing in the background when we start talking about getting in deep. We had a preacher come to our camp meeting years ago, and he was deep. I mean, he loved God. He was smart. He was a great preacher. He'd look at passages. He'd see stuff. Hey, man, I said, I've read that passage 20 times. Where did that come from? He was almost spooky. And I know he's a great guy and a humble man. I remember going to the altar when he'd get done preaching one night, and I said, Lord, I have no idea why I'm even here. It just seems like, because I don't know, something's going on. I don't know what it is. Actually, Lord, I'm not even sure if I'm saved because I've read that. Amen. And that's all well and good sometimes, but you know what? It's practical preaching that helps us.
Yeah.
Amen. So I'm not getting spooky. When I say get in deep, let me tell you what I'm talking about. Let's just take some basics. Jesus said in verse 3, thrust out a little, and then he said launch out of the deep. You know what getting in deep involves? Thrusting out a little more.
Yeah.
Amen. So if you read your Bible occasionally, and you should, I challenge you to read it more.
Amen.
Whatever you got going, whatever your plan is, amen, I'm challenging you to read it more. If you read it, you know, occasionally, just make a point. I mean, talk to God. Ask him to help you read it daily. I'm not talking about 30 pages, 10 pages. I'm not telling you that. But I tell you what, maybe for somebody in here today, tonight, getting in a little deeper, thrusting out a little bit more, might be the purpose in their heart that they're going to open that book.
Amen.
More often and more consistently than they do. And if you already read it daily, take it to the next level. Challenge yourself to read it all the way through in a year. Get a hold of one of those Bible reading schedules. Those help. Amen. Because, listen, Brother Lindo telling me last night, when he was locked, man, he was a reader. I'm glad he got saved. He'd be a mad scientist somewhere. My wife's a reader. Amen. All of us aren't. And so we get a little structure like those calendars. There's different, and it gets easier and easier. My wife uses one that she shared with some ladies in churches, and we had a lady maybe a year ago, And she'd been saved a while, quite a while. And she reads her Bible every day. But she said, she told us this when we went back to that church. She said, you know, I've been reading my Bible for years and I read it all the time, but I never actually read through my Bible in a year. Like starting on January 1st or whatever, whenever. She, now I never did that till Susan gave her this thing. And that gave her the structure to follow, and that course got her through the Bible in a year, Proverbs 30 times, once, you know, no, 12 times. How many months in a year? 30? No, 12. And, you know what I'm saying? The gospel, several, and that, and I thought, wow, that really, amen. Just that little bit of help. And, hey, I'm the kind of guy that needs that kind of structure. And maybe you are too. But do it any way you want. But I just challenge you to do it more. Amen. And maybe you already, Brother Dave, I've been saved a long time and I read my Bible every day and I read through my Bible a year every year. I read through my Bible twice a year. Okay. Well, I got to break it to you. You ain't arrived. Amen. So how about this? And in this day and age with computer programs and phones and tablets, pick a subject, pick a topic, chase that thing all the way through. Pick a person. We used to have to break out a big, giant, strong concordance to do that. Now, all you got to do is plug in your whatever, your device. Device is mentioned somewhere in the Bible, isn't it? Where is it? Oh.
Not sure.
2 Corinthians. Okay. And he knows, too. Amen. So, I'm just trying to challenge you to kick it up a notch.
Yeah, amen.
Hey man, that'd be getting in a little deeper. Sometimes things like this just seem overwhelming. And I'm busy and I'm not bookish and I've tried every excuse. Amen. but I find if you just take it a little bit at a time, you get God to help you. Amen.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be trying to do any of this stuff without God's help.
Yeah.
But we do, because we're so smart. Amen. So number one about getting in deeper had to do with our Bible. We're Bible people.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
But we're also supposed to be praying people.
Amen.
And how do we know? Well, we learn it from the Bible. All this stuff is interlinked. So if your prayer life is centered around, just to be honest, no show of hands, but if in your honesty of your own spirit, you would admit that when you get down to pray, and I hope you do, and I hope it's often, but if your prayer life predominantly centers around you or your family, and you're supposed to pray for yourself. I've had people pray, brother, will you pray for me? I said, are you praying for yourself? I mean, you've got access, you're saved, you've got access to the throne of grace. We don't have to go to the priest, do we?
No.
Amen. So you need to pray for yourself. You sure need to pray for your family. But listen, when I was locked up, I mean, everybody seems to walk around with a Bible in the county jail. And then it goes flying when they make bond. I told a convict one time, I said, he had gotten saved. I believe he got saved. He was coming to services and then he's getting ready to get out. And I says, hey, look, man, I said, I tell you, you need to get in church and I'll give you a ride. Give me a call. They never do. Not very often. Sometimes they do. They have. But I said, that Bible you've been carrying around for the last 3 or 4 months, I really, really would encourage you to take it with you when you leave. Because if you don't, it will be here when you get back. Because you're coming back. Amen. You know, we can break the cycle of negative events in our life. We really can. Now, you can get saved. You don't have to know much. Trust me. You got to admit you're a sinner. You got to believe what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But, boy, if you're ever going to make any progress, you need to get in. You need to get in Christ, but then you need to get in a little deeper. All them convicts, here's what I'm trying to say. All the guys in jail, they're praying for their case. They're praying for their lawyer. They're praying for leniency. They're praying. Me.
Amen.
And I get that.
Yeah.
They don't know any better. Then I got saved. Then I started going to church. then I would be in church on prayer night. And I found out that a whole lot of Christians are just like them convicts.
Amen.
And their whole prayer life and their prayer request all revolves around them. Help my husband get right with God. Help my wife. Help my kids. Help my parents. Please, Lord, help my finances. Lord, I'm praying about this. Lord, if when all my ducks get in a row. You've heard that, right? You've heard that expression? I said that in England preaching one time. It killed the meeting. They're looking at each other going, ducks in a row, what's he talking about? All slang does not translate. Amen. But some of us are waiting till we get all the little issues lined up in our life. And then we try to bargain with God, say, I'll do something for God as soon as I... You don't even have any reasonable right to assume you're ever going to get all your ducks in a row.
Yeah.
But you can do something for God while you're... moving them around. You need to learn. Well, you got to read your Bible. Read your Bible more. And you need to pray. You need to pray for others.
Amen.
More. And maybe that's just, okay, well, I never thought. You know what? Here's what Christians in our circles, I'm talking about, I'm a Bible believer.
Yes.
I'd say Bible believers often will read it, will hear it preached, and still really have no comprehension of the spiritual warfare, the spiritual battle. Say, well, how do you say that? Because I see people get blindsided by things that are clearly in the Bible. Amen. I'm talking about New Testament. I'm talking about Pauline. It's like, I can't believe this happened to me. And I'm going, really? Well, you're not. I say all that to say this. We're talking about prayer. I just want to tell you, it is more important than ever that you understand the importance of praying for your pastors. Because they're in the sights. They're in the crosshairs. You too, Christians. But you need to pray for those. Pray for evangelists.
Amen.
We covet your prayers. Amen.
Amen.
Pray for one another. You have a list, don't you? You have a directory, don't you? Take your directory. Amen. That's a good, make for a good prayer list. Amen. You got a church this size. You may not make, you probably will not pray efficiently for everybody in this church every time, but you can take a church this big, break it down into three or four sections right by alphabet and pray for families. And as you hear needs and if you hear, you know, issues that people have, they want, that's what we're supposed to do for one another. Pray for one another.
Amen.
Amen. Say, well, you know, okay. I'm not condemning you. I'm just trying to encourage you to look at it differently. Kick it up a notch. Amen.
Amen.
And you know what? What about just church attendance? Church attendance is a serious thing. Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And we're such Bible scholars, we like to point to the fact that surely the day is approaching. Every time somebody makes a speech in Washington, we're like, even so come Lord Jesus, and he's coming.
Amen.
Amen. But, what was I thinking? It's hard to exhort. Okay, let me put it like this. It's impossible to exhort. An empty pew doesn't exhort. Now, if this pew's empty because God's got it planned for somebody, that's why we invite. But when you don't come and you can, it not only are you not exhorting one another,
that's right,
but you'll call it, that is discouraging.
Amen.
Because, wow, why aren't they there?
Amen.
Now, who do you think's in their ear, you know?
Amen.
Bringing up questions like that. That word forsake, one of the definitions of the word forsake is desert. And it ain't apple pie, friend. When I was in the military, when you were in the military, and you probably too, you're old enough, when we were in the military, Desertion in time of war was an executionable offense. Amen? I know when you were in, Brother Melvin, they're older than us. Sorry, Brother Lindell, not you. Amen. But I mean, amen. And if I'm reading my Bible right, we're at war now.
Amen.
And I don't want to be associated with anything that resembles desertion. Amen. That's just how I look at things. I just like stuff real simple. Amen. It's important to be in church. Amen. And you know what? Religion doesn't teach you to be in church every service. Religion gives you a choice. Pick up. We're all going to preach the same message at 8:30 and at 10:30 and on Saturday night. I mean, they might have church three or four times a week, but nobody's insinuating that you come to all of them because they're all going to be identical just so you make the one where you put in your check. Amen. Amen. And so we lead people to the Lord. People get saved. And they find out that truly we are a bunch of fanatical nuts. We come for Sunday school. We stay for morning service. We come back on Sunday night. We meet during the week. And if that doesn't convince them, we'll schedule 10 days. And, you know, there are churches all over America. The parking lots are full on church days. And we're not making much of an impact. But even at five-day revival, when people are driving up and down the neighborhood and they look over in that parking lot, they're used to Sunday mornings, maybe even Wednesday. But when they see cars in that parking lot, Friday, Saturday, what, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, they go, those people are a bunch of fanatics.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, now I think we're supposed to make that kind of impression. Somebody asked me one time, said, Brother Spurgeon, are you one of them religious, well, not religious, but are you one of them fanatics? And I said, nope. But that's what I'm shooting for. That's my goal. Say, what do you mean? I would like to honestly say that I'm as zealous for Jesus Christ as I've been other things
Amen.
In my life.
Amen.
And I would say I probably am, but I've been working at it a long time. I'm just talking about it launching out into the deep again. It isn't spooky. It just kicked everything up a notch.
Amen.
And I ain't even going to giving. Or not like that. I don't even have to say that stuff. I'm talking about reading your Bible and praying and being where you're supposed to be so you can encourage others, so that others can encourage you. Amen.
Amen.
That's getting in a little deeper. Now, some of you got that down pat. Some of you are born into it. And praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Good examples. Amen. Some of us came along a little later, and thank God we had good examples. And I want you to get in deep too. You get, okay, here we gotta, in this day and age, we have to be so mindful and fair and careful. So I'll say it like this. You can stay in the shallow end if you'd like. But why? Why would you want to? Amen. That was a softer side. You weren't ready for that, were you? Verse 6, we're talking about getting in. Let's get in. Let's get in where the Lord's speaking. Let's get in a little deeper. I mean, after 10 days, there ought to be something change.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So, how about this? Verse 6, and when they had done this, and what? Okay, now I took so much time, we got to... What chapter are we? Okay, I gotta find it. Verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, after we had told him, taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Verse 6, here we go. And when they had done it, and they did it. When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And their net brake, just like the Lord said. You know, if you look at the verse, Verse 5 says, let down your nets, plural. But they didn't do that. They almost did what the Lord told them, but they only let down one net. And now it's so full that their net's breaking. Maybe if they would have let them both down. You follow me? Verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came. That's Simon Peter and Andrew. were partners. They had a fishing company, and they were business partners of James and John. Now, Matthew doesn't go into that, but Luke shows that to us. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships. So they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord."
Amen.
Peter probably thought he was a pretty good fella. I don't get any indication that he wasn't. Amen. But you know what just happened there? He saw himself compared to the Lord.
Right.
And he says then, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." You know what he did? He got things in perspective.
Amen.
And that helped us all to keep things in perspective. When Isaiah is preaching to those Jews in chapter 5, man, he's skinning them. Five times. "Woe unto thee, woe unto thee, woe unto thee." And I read that, "Amen, brother Isaiah, give it to him." And he does a great job. Until he gets to chapter 6 and he sees the Lord high and lifted up. Amen. And then he says, "Woe unto me."
Amen.
So he got things into position. Because it's the same way when we look out at what's going on in our country and our world, and it is going down fast, man.
Yeah.
And it's easy for us to, instead of having compassion and trying to do what we can, it gets real easy for us to look down on them. Amen. And I hear preachers getting pulpits, and listen, you can get an amen out of a backslidden Christian by about 4 or 5 catchphrases. And I am not looking for an amen out of a backslidden Christian. I'm trying to say something at the Lord's leading that'll cause you to examine yourself to the point where if you are backslidden in any way, shape, or form, you'll get that thing straightened out. That's what we're shooting for. And when Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am," I don't want to misquote it, but that's never stopped me before. "Woe unto me, for I'm a man of un," you know what it says, right? Then he was ready to say, when the Lord said, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And he was able to say, "Here am I, send me." He got things back in perspective. He was being used of God. He was a great preacher. He was preaching straight, preaching hard, wasn't afraid of the people. Amen. But even then, we got to get a glimpse of the King.
Amen.
Once in a while to keep things in perspective. It says in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, and it's there because we do it. And we're certainly capable of doing it. Paul writes, then he says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise."
Amen.
Amen. And I'll tell you something, if you and I can ever quit comparing ourselves to each other and others and get a glimpse of the King a little more often, it would be easier to turn the reins over to Him. Amen. Sometimes we all just need to get things back in perspective. I heard a preacher say years ago, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And sometimes we get the main thing down pat, and somehow we start majoring on the minors. And buddy, I'm telling you what, that's a two-way street. Because I've seen that pendulum go this way, and the reaction to it, and the reaction is just as critical. And again, the balance is what you're looking for.
Amen.
Amen and amen. So we need to get things in perspective. Luke chapter 5 and verse 9. "For he was astonished," Peter. He had just said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He got it in perspective. He's the Lord, and we're sinners. "For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken." Now again, these are professional fishermen, and I would say they are probably pretty good ones. In other words, they've been catching fish long before Jesus came along. But they never had a catch like this. They'd never seen anything like this. Amen. This was a miracle. It truly. And they were in awe. It says they were astonished. Amen. Remember when you were in awe? I mean, in just flat out in awe of God, that the Creator of everything would give you the time of day.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Let me attempt this here. Maybe I'll have you help me out. You'll know when. I hope. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Can you help me out? Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Yeah, he ain't changed one bit. Amen. So let me just ask you, are you still in awe of God? Or let's just be honest with yourself, no show of hands, but or have you kind of gotten used to him? I mean, we're Christians and we have a Bible and we go to church and we know we're going to heaven. And the Bible still says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. Okay, help me out. When I try to wing it, amen. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. He is to be number one. But here's what happens. Flesh isn't done fighting. The world still has a great draw. I think the devil gets credit for stuff he doesn't even know about, to be honest. Amen, but he's the God of this world. And just to be honest, I think if we're not careful, and we need to be careful, and we need to be faithful, and we need to be in our Bible, and we need to be where the preaching is going on, and we need to be in touch with God through prayer, because even though he's supposed to be number one, sometimes the issues of life can cause him to maybe drop down a couple notches. And then the first thing that we think of when we wake up in the morning isn't the fact that God just gave you the breath that you didn't deserve, and another day which the Lord hath made, and you're not thinking about being glad and rejoicing in it because we've got issues. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to get back in awe of God. Amen? All right. Amen. And we can address that. If that's the case, Lord, he knows, you know. All right, and verse 9 again. It said, for he, and that's Peter, was astonished. And then it said, and all that were with him. So it wasn't just Peter, even though he's the spokesman, self-appointed often. It said they were all, you know what they were? They were in one accord. They were in one accord in being astonished at what the Lord had just done. I tell you what, it doesn't get any better than being in one accord. Great things can happen. It says in Acts 4:44, and when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Amen. And that's who he is too. It says in Psalm 133 and verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
And when we can get in one accord and quit fussing over nickel dime stuff that don't matter, We can get something done for Jesus Christ. And he deserves it. Amen? All right. I got another one. I know. You're impressed. Verse 10. And it says, and so also was James. Peter was astonished all the way with him. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. There it is again. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men.
Amen.
And when they, verse 11, and when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. They followed him for what? To get others in.
Amen.
We need to get in. We need to get in deeper. We need to keep things in perspective. Amen. We need to stay in awe. Amen.
Amen.
And we need to focus on getting others in. He took those very professional, successful fishermen, and they left their nets, and they left their boats, and they left their family, and they left their religion, and they followed him.
Amen.
To catch men. Amen?
That's right.
So I'll close with this. What are you doing? I see you're here. Amen. I get the letters. I get things. I get communications from this church. I know what you're doing. I'm for it. But on a personal level, I'm asking you, what are you doing? What part do you have in getting others in? Yes, we're to grow. Yes, we're to mature, all that. But ultimately, the Lord left us here to be witnesses of his grace. He's not done, because if he was, we'd be with him. Amen. So we need to get others in. And I'll say this, one of the biggest criticisms of Christianity, you've heard it, is all the hypocrites.
Amen.
And there's no shortage of hypocrites. I told my Bible teacher one day, something was going on, and I said, man, I tell you, I feel like such a hypocrite. He said, well, Brother Dave, you are. That's not what I wanted to hear. That's not, you are, you're a hypocrite, just confess it and, you know, get right and go on. And I thought, you just made my Christian life a lot easier. Because, listen, we need to keep it real.
Yeah.
And when it ain't, when something gets out of whack, then get it right.
Yeah.
Instead of pretending.
Yeah.
Because, again, one of the biggest criticisms of Bible Christianity is all the hypocrites are helping others get in. Might be as simple as making sure you aren't one.
Right.
I mean, in the old days we'd say, walk it like you talk it. People do a lot more talking than walking these days. If we're ever going to make a difference, out of gratitude for what the Lord did for us, well, we better do it his way.
Amen.
Amen? Now I'm going to say this, and I'll be done. I promise, sort of. Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The most important thing you're ever going to get in is in Jesus Christ. Now, a bunch of you are. So you go from there. I gave you a whole message to think about. But if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, and you might be the nicest person here. Everybody's so nice, I couldn't tell. I couldn't go by that. Sometimes the meanest person in the room is the one that is backslidden. I've learned that. If you're in here tonight, we're glad you're here. You might be a great person, all that. If you've never been saved, if you're not in Christ, that's what needs to be addressed. Say, well, I've never heard it like this before. Goes right back to what the preacher said at the beginning. That's what we're here for.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen?
To answer, to help with a Bible, not our opinion. Amen?
Amen?
If you're in here tonight and you're not in Christ, you've never been born again, you can be, you need to be, and we're at your service. Let's all stand. Getting in tonight. Let's get in, man. All the way. Hide, hair, and all. Amen. Preacher, come.
We're going to sing.
sing number 309.
You know, Peter and Andrew and James and John were called by the Lord, and they gave up their fishing company, and it was after they had that huge catch of fish. But they didn't really give up anything, because they became preachers, and the rest of their life they were serving the Lord. And you know how many people go their entire life doing the same job over and over and over again, and wonder, well, what's this all about? I'm just doing the same thing over and over again. And if God calls you to step out and do something else, man, that is an opportunity. Don't lose that. God's calling you. And if God's calling you to give your life to Him, I'm telling you, He'll do a much better job of your life than you will do yourself. You're not going to lose anything by giving your life to Jesus. You're going to gain a whole lot, though. We're going to sing number 309, Al Pasito. Service. I'm sure the preacher would be at your service as well. Yeah. We're all ready for you. But one way or the other, come back tomorrow night, bring a visitor, bring a friend, and let's bless the Lord.
Amen. Amen.